All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. Matthew, chapter 13. All right, this 13th chapter is... The Lord Jesus is talking about the kingdom, and there are several parables that are given in this chapter, seven of them to be exact. And I want us to read verse 44, 45, and 46. I am going to primarily speak to you from 45 and 46 with the parable of the pearl of great price. But I want to go back and read verse 44 and read to you the parable of the hidden treasure. And I want to do a little bit of a contrast between the two as we go through the message. So let's look at verse 44. It says again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." All right, now would you just get the mental picture in your mind, all right, and see what the Lord is saying here. There is a fella, and for whatever reason, he is in a field. Now, in all probability, he is taking care of sheep. He is maybe sowing seed for somebody. Who knows? But while he is in this field, he finds a treasure that was buried, that was hidden in the field somewhere. And so he relocates the treasure. He takes the treasure from its original spot, and he goes and he digs a place, and he puts the treasure in a new spot, and then hides it, covers it over. And then he goes to his house and has a yard sale, and he just sells everything that he has, and he takes the proceeds, and he goes and buys this field, and now he's wealthy. Okay? That's verse 44. But then look at verse 45. In verse 45, it says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man." Now think about what you're reading here. It's not your average Joe. This guy is a pearl salesman by choice. It's his business. He is a merchant dealing with pearls. So look at it carefully now. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls." Now, he's not interested in the Kmart stuff. He wants the good stuff. All right? Verse 46. Now watch. "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." All right? Now, these parables are such simple language, but they needed to be. That's what a parable is. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And we're to be able to read these little earthly stories. That's why I wanted you to envision the parable in your mind. But what is the spiritual application behind them? All right, let's pray, and then I want to speak to you tonight on the pearl of great price. Let's pray together. Our Father, we come to you now and ask for your blessings upon the preaching of your word. We just thank you so much for the simplicity of the Bible. And I pray that you will bless tonight as we look at what the Lord Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. And I pray that the application that is made tonight will touch our hearts and help us to see ourselves. Help us to see where we are in the kingdom. Are we a member of the kingdom of God? And Father, I pray if there's somebody here tonight who is not 100% sure, may they realize their need of the Savior, and may they call upon his name tonight before we leave. Oh Lord, speak to hearts. Bless us now, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I love this little parable, the parable of the pearl of great price. It's amazing how many ways you can apply these few simple little words. Today, the pearl is still held in very high esteem all over the world. I dare say that there are several of you ladies here tonight who are wearing pearls of some kind. You either have a necklace or earrings or a ring or something that has a pearl in it. Pearls are still today held in high esteem. But they do not hold the place in today's market and in today's world like they used to in our Lord's day. In the old world, the pearl was the most precious of all the precious stones. Today, in our world, the diamond is the most precious of stones. But today's diamond is uniquely cut and it's fashioned to bring out its brilliance and certainly deserves the value that we give it in our society. But realize that back in Bible times, when the Lord was on the earth and when he spoke, verse 45 and 46, realize that the diamond was known to the world. They knew the diamond. Now, they did not know how to cut it and polish it like we know today. But they certainly knew about diamonds back in New Testament times. But they were probably too rare to be used as an effective illustration to accomplish what the Lord Jesus wanted to accomplish here. So the pearl was used instead. The measure of value that we give a diamond today is probably very similar to the measure of value to which they associated with the pearl in Christ's day. So every person who heard the parable clearly understood the message, and they understood the meaning, and when they walked away and thought about what the Lord was saying, they certainly could identify with the analogy that was given. Now, there are many stories in antiquity which show us just how valuable pearls were back at during Christ's day. Probably the most famous was one connected to Cleopatra, where they said that she had accumulated a collection of pearls, some of them, many of them, estimated to be almost $80,000 to $100,000 in price. Now, back in that day, that would be unaffordable by the average person. Is that story true? Well, we're not going to know till we get to heaven and know all things, but it shows us the value of the pearl at the time when the Lord Jesus was upon the earth. And then there are all the stories, the folklore, where they taught their children where pearls came from. And it was thought, and what they used to teach their children back 2,000 years ago, was that a drop of dew fell out of heaven into an open shell. And according to the hour at which it fell, and or the brightness of the sky, or the darkness of the sky, that determined whether the pearl was shiny, whether it was bright, whether it was perfect, or whether it had some form or some kind of imperfection. Now, the Lord Jesus doesn't deal with any of these claims that I just gave to you. The Lord Jesus doesn't deal with any of that in this parable. And since he doesn't deal with it, I'm not going to deal with it either, other than just to share it with you, to let you see how valuable pearls were in our Lord's day. You see, our Lord's parables live because they have their roots not in wild theories and folklore, but their roots are in simple facts. Yet as his hearers scattered to their homes and meditated on the story, on the parable of the pearl that he had just uttered, I cannot help but wonder how many of them's mind went back to the prophet Hosea when Hosea said, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." God saying, "I will be as the dew unto Israel." So I want you to understand before I get to the main body of the message that the pearl was viewed by everybody as the most precious of all the gems. Now there are just a couple of things that impress us about this parable. And I want to point out to you some simple little things. They're obvious as they can be. As a matter of fact, with a couple of these, when I say them, you're going to go, "Duh, well, I know that." I mean, they're that simple. But let me give them to you. Number one, I want you to think about this. Now, just remember verse 45 and 46. And let me show you how simple this little parable is. You ready? Number one, the finder of the pearl had been a seeker. Now, how simple is that? How many times did you say to your kids when you said, "Go get your coat," and they said, "I can't find it"? Well, did you look for it? Why do we ask that question? Because we know our kids, don't we? Oh, they're going to turn around, walk back into the room, and they're not thinking about their coat. They're not thinking about anything but where they're headed and how soon am I going to get there. And how many times did you have to walk back in the room, go over right in front of them, pick up the coat, hand it to them, and then give them instructions on how to put it on? You see, the finder of the pearl had been a seeker. Please note that this is so on the surface that it could very easily be missed. He was a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. That was his business, folks, but it was also his quest. He was all about finding pearls. Now, if you look back to the preceding parable, the parable of the hidden treasure, notice that there is no mention in the previous parable, no thought at all of anyone seeking. You with me? Nobody's seeking in the previous one in verse 44. The guy is not looking for the treasure. He's just out in the field. And he finds the treasure, but there's no indication that he is looking for it. In verse 44, the fella is just walking around. on a nice day when unexpectedly he finds the treasure. But here in there is no stroke of sudden fortune. Do you guys remember, those of you that have lived here in Westminster for a long time, do you remember when across the street there was a barbecue place, a pit beef place? Do you remember that? I don't remember what it was called. I remember they had a yellow sign. What? Canopy. The canopy? Was that it? Yeah, that was it. Well, when we first moved here, I went over there one day for lunch. And it was March, and it was windy. And so I thought, well, I'm going to park as close to the front door as I can get. And when I pulled in, I noticed that there was a guy backing out in the very first slot where all I had to do was get out of the car and run right in the door. Didn't have to worry about the wind, didn't have to worry about anything. And so as he was pulling out on this side, I was coming in. I stopped and waited on him. And then the guy right in front of him backed out on the other side. So when this guy went out, and then this guy backed out and went out the other way, I went on, swung around, and came in the back way and pulled forward so I wouldn't have to back up when I left. I put the car in park, turned off the ignition, opened the door, stepped, put one leg out, and as soon as my left leg hit the parking lot, a $20 bill just perfectly wrapped around my ankle. I went to that restaurant for 3 months after that. Never happened again. But it happened that day. I got out and looked. I didn't see anybody. I took the $20. I held it up and I did what they do at the restaurant, you know, saw a little line in it, knew it was real. And I'm looking around and don't see anybody. And so I just smiled and I figured the Lord knew that I needed $20. And so he gave me $20. It just, boom, there it was, wrapped around my ankle. I thought, what in the world hit me? I looked down, it's a $20 bill. Now this merchant man's job was finding goodly pearls. That means he was a seeker. I was not out on that parking lot looking for dollars rolling around in the wind. It just happened just like it did in verse 44 with the guy that found the hidden treasure. But this guy in 45 and 46, he was a seeker. He was a seeker. He was looking for the pearls. He was a seeker before he is a finder. And in all probability, his father was in the pearl trading business, and he followed in his daddy's footsteps, for that is usually the way things worked back in those days. And so that's probably where he got the desire to seek pearls. But at any rate, what we need to realize is that finding pearls was now his calling. And notice that there is a kind of nobleness about this man. He is not concerned about inferior quality pearls. No, he is looking, the Lord Jesus said, for goodly pearls. Cheap stuff didn't impress him. He is not concerned with pearls that you might be able to find in a cheap shop somewhere. He's looking for the good ones. He wants the good ones. Now, is not this often how our Lord works as he builds his kingdom? Think about it, folks. There are some folks who stumble into the Lord like the fella who found the hidden treasure. That happens to folks. You know, I could stand here tonight, take a portable microphone and just turn it loose, and many of you could stand up and give testimony that you weren't looking for the Lord when the Lord found you. All right? You weren't looking for the Lord. And this is how the Lord often works as he builds his kingdom. I mean, it may have been a gospel tract that somebody placed in your hand. It may have been that you were at one of the fairs or one of the carnivals, or your neighbor could have invited you to come to Living Cross and you heard the gospel and got saved. Hey, this is exactly what happened to the Samaritan woman in John 4. Remember that? I mean, she got up one morning and she realized that she had to go to the well. So she waited until noon when the sun was at its peak, not expecting to see a single soul. But when she got to the well, who was there? And she got saved. She brought her water pots, but she ended up leaving the water pots and she left with the whole well. Amen. But now contrast her with the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a religious zealot. His whole life was a search for peace of conscience and spiritual liberty. Ever searching for more, for that, looking at, for that which was goodly in life. And in searching, one day on the Damascus Road, he found the pearl of great price. Or I should say, the pearl found him. Secondly, I want you to notice that it was in the search that he made his discovery. It was in the search that he made his discovery. All of his days had been spent in seeking pearls, and it was a pearl of great price that he found at last. But realize, I mean, just, it's so simple, folks. You say, Pastor, that is so simple. I know it is, but what a great truth. It was in the search that he made his discovery. Let's use our imaginations for just a moment with this fellow. Let's imagine that he has traveled the Middle East. Let's imagine doing the job of seeking goodly pearls. Let's just imagine he has gone all over the Middle East. Let's imagine that he has gone to all the ports along the Indian Ocean. And he has checked in every shop and he's looking for pearls. He wants the absolute best that he can find. Would not his eyes have seen many a wondrous gems along the way? Yet the Lord does not refer to any of this ever happening. You see, the merchant's object was the purchase of goodly pearls. He didn't care about rubies or emeralds or diamonds, even though he probably saw a lot of them for sale by various vendors. No, he was looking for pearls and for pearls alone. And he sought them until he found the one that satisfied him. Is there not a lesson right there on the surface? I mean, folks, think about it. If we are seeking what is goodly, then the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ is certainly going to be found in the direction of our quest. Let me illustrate. I'm going to tell you a little story here now about one of the church's early heroes. You're going to meet this guy when you get to heaven, and then you'll be able to tell him, oh, Pastor Norris told us your story one night, so you won't be shocked when you meet him. He lived a long time ago. His name was Justin. Justin was his name. And after he died, he became known as Justin Martyr. Justin Martyr. He died a horrible martyr's death. And he recorded his testimony. He wrote down his testimony of how he came to Christ. And this is what he said. I wonder if his testimony might be similar to somebody in here tonight. He said, I was hungering for peace in my soul, and I couldn't find it. And so he said, I enrolled in college, and I studied philosophy under some of the greatest minds of the day. And still hungry, for I never got filled on philosophy. He said, I decided then to get a degree in mathematics. God bless him. And so we studied mathematics and earned a degree in mathematics. But then he gave testimony. He said, I still never found what I was looking for. And one day, while walking around a lake, an old gentleman noticed a look of sorrow and trouble on Justin's face. And he stopped him and he said, young man, what is troubling you? And Justin told him, well, I've spent my life looking for the good. I have gone to high school and gone to college. I have sat under the greatest minds alive today. I have 2 degrees, one in philosophy and one in mathematics, and I'm still not happy. I cannot seem to find what I'm looking for. And that old man, he said, encouraged him to have a seat. You talk about a divine appointment. And God put Justin Martyr right in that godly man's path. And Justin Martyr sat and listened as this venerable old saint of God took the gospel and showed him the gospel and how he could have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Justin Martyr prayed and received Christ as his Savior. And he gives testimony that from that moment on, his life was transformed. You see, Justin had been seeking goodly pearls, but finally found the pearl of great price, which changed his life and gave him the peace which none of the other goodly pearls could ever have given him. You know, what you are looking for is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, it's a shame we can't get the world to see that. Folks will try church, and they'll try reformation, and they'll try baptism, and they'll try this and try that, and all goodly pearls, but you can be sure that you are on the road to the kingdom when you're looking. But listen, folks, Jesus, the pearl of great price, that's who you're looking for. And once you find him, he satisfies your soul in only a way that he can. I've told you my testimony many times before, but when I got about 13 years old, I just decided there wasn't anybody going to tell me what to do. And there wasn't going to be anybody tell me that I had to do this or I had to do that. And I just made up my mind I was going to do what I wanted to do. Case closed, end of story. And I did. I got old enough to tell my mother, I'm not going to church. And I told her I'm not going to church. But my mother didn't quit. She didn't quit. And she kept praying. And I came home one night, way later than I was supposed to come home. And when I walked in that door, my mother was kneeling beside the bed. And I could hear her praying, oh God, please get him home safely. Oh God, please don't let him get killed in a car wreck tonight. Oh God, save his soul. Oh God, please don't let him get hurt tonight. I pray, I beg. And folks, let me tell you, it was like 4 in the morning. And my mother had been on her knees since about 10 when I was supposed to be home. Now you try going to sleep after hearing your mother grab a hold of the horns of the altar and refuse to turn loose. And the Spirit of God began to deal with my heart. And that was the catalyst for my mother. We came home from school on Friday the next week and sat down, and my mother said, "Well, I've got good news." And we all looked at her. My dad didn't even know. My dad didn't even know. We all looked at her. "What good news?" She said, "Well, I sold our house today." My dad said, "What?" She said, "Oh, I got a good price for it." "Well, why would you do that?" She said, "Because we're moving back to Cross Lanes where I can get him in church, because he's going to hell if he doesn't get saved." Now, you try to eat dinner after your mother stuck her finger in your face and told you you're going to hell. And you know what happened? We moved to Cross Lanes. And we weren't there a week before there was a knock at the door, and she had sicked the preacher on me. Oh, I was rude to him. I told him I didn't want to talk to him. "You leave me alone." I went upstairs, and my mother was crying over her Bible at the dinner table. And I knew, I waited about an hour before I went upstairs, because I knew I was in trouble. But I didn't expect the trouble that I got. I got trouble here instead of back here where I should have got the trouble. I got trouble right here. When I walked upstairs and there was my mother, tears streaming down her face. And she looked at me and she said, "You're going to die in a car wreck. You're going to die in a fight. You're going to die, and you're going to split hell wide open when you do. And there's not a thing I can do about it." And I said, "Mom, if you'll just stop the crying, I'll go to church sometime. Just quit crying." And just like that, she quit. That was Tuesday night. Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. I had just gotten home a few hours earlier. "Come on, church time, let's go." "Go away. Come on. You said you'd go to church." I said, "Sometime." "Didn't mean this Sunday." And you know, she would still be standing there knocking at that door had I not gotten up. And I knew that. So I got up and went to church. 4 Sundays later, I got saved. And you know, when we moved, I made up my mind, I'm going to straighten up. I'm going to stop this and stop that. I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to quit this. I'm going to give all this up. Those were all goodly pearls. But when I found the pearl of great price, that's what changed everything. Have you found that pearl? You say, "Pastor, I'm trying. I'm doing my best." There's your problem. You need to let the Lord do it for you. You need to find the pearl of great price. I got to hurry. Number three. Notice, this parable doesn't say anything at all about joy. Did you notice that? Now, joy is mentioned in the previous one, isn't it? But there's no joy in this one. Look carefully at it. No mention of joy at all in 45 and 46. I think this is intentional. I think the contrast was by design. You see, in verse 44, the man stumbled onto the treasure in the field, and he was filled with excitement. And the Bible says, for joy. For joy. It It was such a surprise to him, he could hardly believe it had happened. His heart was pounding with excitement that such a turn of events had fallen right into his lap. But then when you get to the pearl of great price parable, there's no joy mentioned, even though there is a thing of equal value in verse 45 and 46 as what there is in verse 44. Why no mention of joy? Well, I think that there's a reason for this. I think that the second man's joy was simply of a different kind of joy. You say, Pastor, what do you mean? In the second, there was the inward satisfaction that what had been long dreamed about had finally come true. You remember when Peter and John in Acts chapter 3 went to the beautiful gate and there was a man there, and Peter took the man by the hand, lifted him up. He jumped up and leaped all over the place. Remember that? He was so happy. For years, think about it, his family wheeled him to that gate every morning. They then went and picked him up and took him back home every night. And probably on the morning that he met Peter and John, he came to the gate thinking it was going to be just like any other day. But little did he know that on this day his life would change forever as well as his eternity. And you know, if you just stop and think about it, you see all kinds of reactions when people get saved. You see all kinds of them. Man, they run, some of them run, get happy. Some of them cry, some of them shout, some of them hug everybody that's within 10 yards of them. Everybody's reaction is different. But you know, I've never met anybody that got saved that wasn't joyous. Joyous. I remember when I got saved, I'd been going through all that reformation in my life for about 3 months. But then I got saved. I found the pearl of great price. And I've told you many a time, when I got saved, here's what I did. I went, whew. Why? Because the guilt was gone. Sin was gone. Then number four, he was seeking many pearls, but was led at last to one. You know, I think all you got to do is look at our world today. People are trying to find the pearl, but they're looking in the wrong places. They're trying to find a pearl at great price. Some people are looking for it in a bottle. You're not going to find it in a bottle. Some people are looking for it in money. You're not going to find the pearl of great price in money. Money cannot buy you happiness. The crowning possession of his lifelong search was not a multitude of things. It was one thing. One thing. It was not a string of pearls that was discovered. It was one pearl. One pearl rewards the seeking of a lifetime. One pearl gives satisfaction to the soul. Now in our Lord's kingdom, we see what at once recalls us to look at both parables. No treasure hidden in any field can be any more various than the riches found in Christ's kingdom. But then the joy of the kingdom is just this, that all of its riches are treasured up in one person, and that's Jesus. Everything that yours and my heart needs for peace, for satisfaction, is found in him and in him alone. Let me ask you tonight, dear friend, have you found the pearl of great price? Do you know the Lord? Would everybody in this building, you say, Pastor, you've asked me this question before. I'm sure I have. And I'll ask it to you again if the Lord tarries and we all stay healthy. But would you ask yourself this question tonight? Ask it personally. Let's just suppose that it's only you and me in this room tonight. And I want to ask you this question. If something should happen to you and you were to leave here and go out into eternity, do you know for sure that you're going to heaven? And if the answer is, well, I'm not sure. If the answer is, well, I sure hope so. If the answer is, well, I sure want to go to heaven, then I want to invite you to come forward and let us take a Bible and we're just going to turn a couple of pages here. It won't take long. And we're going to show you where you can find the pearl of great price. And once you see that Jesus, you'll never want for anything else again. He'll satisfy the needs. It was only a week or two ago. It was after the second service, and I was walking back to the office. And a lady came up to me in the hallway. And she said, are you that guy that was up there preaching? And I said, yes, ma'am. She said, I don't see too good these days, but my hearing's good. I said, well, hearing's about all you need around here. You see, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And she giggled a little bit and she said, I want you to know, preacher, I have spent my life trying to figure out how to get to heaven. I said, yep, you and a lot of other people. And she said, I've been coming here now for about 6 weeks. And she said, before the first service was over, I figured everything out. I said, well, what'd you figure out? She said, that I've got to be born again. I said, ma'am, you just nailed it. She said, I know. She said, the first service I figured out. She said, you got to be born again once, you said it a half a dozen times. I said, yeah, that's the way we do. Repetition is a good way to learn. And she said, well, I want you to know I got it. I said, so let me ask you, if you died right now, where are you going? She said, heaven. I said, why do you say that? She said, because I have trusted Christ as my personal Savior. Now let me ask you, have you trusted Him tonight? And if you haven't, I want to invite you to come. We will take a Bible and sit down with you and show you from the Word of God how you can know that you're going to heaven. Wouldn't it be awesome while you're out looking for goodly pearls, you just happen to 550 Baltimore Boulevard in Westminster, Maryland, 21157. And lo and behold, while you were looking for the goodly pearls, you found the pearl of great price. And you said, I don't need anything else. This is all I need. Because that's all you need is the Lord.